Dear Cheap Astronomy, How Will We Build a Lunar Colony? Part 2. In the previous episode, we considered that in a lunar colony, you're going to want to breathe and to be in about one atmosphere of pressure and have regulated temperature, which ends up being mostly about keeping cool. Of course, all that requires energy. A fairly constant source of solar energy is available, since there will never be any clouds in the sky. But remember that you're dealing with lunar days that last for about 2 weeks, and then lunar nights which last for about 2 weeks. You could probably get through the nights with large banks of batteries, but current thinking is that we'll start small by settling at one of the poles, probably the south one. It has more craters than the north, which is good because we think their shadow depths may contain lots of water ice, while their raised crests may get permanent sunlight, and hence be good places to set up solar panels. In the long term, we could look at nuclear fission reactors, and if we ever crack nuclear fusion, there seems to be a ready supply of fuel in the form of helium-3 in surface regolith. For either fission or fusion, managing temperature regulation in a vacuum will be a major issue, otherwise those reactors could quite literally melt down. At the end of the day, building and maintaining anything on the moon is feasible if it's economically viable to ship materials from Earth and have a construction crew on site to put them all together. But that is a very big if. Enthusiasts appeal to potentials for doing things with in-situ materials in order to reduce reliance on shipping. So we could make concrete blocks and mortar from regolith and even build dry stone walls from rocks for that matter. But since we're going to need pressurized habitats, we'll still need to ship various metals and plastics from Earth. In the longer term, we might extract aluminium from lunar material. But first, you'd have to build an aluminium smelter. As with so many in-situ resource utilization ideas, you first need the infrastructure and an engineering workforce, or otherwise some very clever robots. All that might happen after you've found a colony, but it's not going to happen before you do. So to start with, we'll just do whatever we can with water, ice and regolith. Everything else will have to be shipped in. All that said, though, there's no reason why we couldn't start growing food there. In the early days, it's unlikely this will achieve more than supplementing supplies from Earth, and the focus will be mostly on low-volume, high-productivity outputs, since everything will have to be grown in Earth-equivalent atmosphere using lots of precious water. So algae, fungi and insects are likely to be staples on the menu, but hopefully there'll be some potatoes and soybeans as well. If lunar tourism ever takes off, there might be demand for more sophisticated dining, but you have to wonder why lunar tourism would ever take off. In the early days, lunar tourism might have an equivalent appeal to climbing Mount Everest, which attracts around 7,000 climbers a year and, like the moon, is both very expensive and dangerous. In the longer term, lunar tourism might become less dangerous and economies of scale might make it cheaper, which could then make it more like Antarctica, which attracts around 125,000 tourists a year, although Antarctica does have penguins and you can breathe. This brings us back to the point that sure, we can overcome all sorts of technological issues to colonize the moon, but first there's got to be some kind of economic rationale to drive all the investment required. There's no doubt the moon could be a great place for astronomical research, particularly on the far side, and it could be a vital transit stop for interplanetary missions, assuming we can find an economic rationale for doing lots of interplanetary missions. Or otherwise, there could just be a lunar outpost for general scientific research, which operates much like the International Space Station does. None of those options really spell colony, but they are at least a foothold on the moon. What happens after that requires some unanticipated developments. Maybe it will turn out that crashing asteroids on the moon for mining purposes is actually a good idea, or maybe we will find some other use for an orbiting platform of magnificent desolation.